Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 27. This is... Sorry. Okay, that even if it is accepted that Pradhan can initiate creation on its own, the proposal does not stand, since Pradhan would have no purpose in creating the universe. This activity cannot be accepted. Why? Because in accepting it, there is absence of purpose. Artha bhavat. You claim that the goal of Pradhan's action is jiva's enjoyment in the form of seeing Prakriti, and liberation in the form of detachment from Prakriti. But the goal of the action cannot be the jiva's enjoyment, because before the action of creation, the jiva, according to your definition, was not an agent, but conscious being alone without modification. Thus there was no necessity for the jiva to change. Right? So since the jiva is not involved, they're actually not the one involved in creation, so they're not an agent, right? And there's since they're conscious, unchanging, you know, all these different things, what's the need for the jiva to be changed into a situation in which now they have to enjoy the material nature? Right? What's the point? You know, why would Pradhan do that? The jiva is fine as it is, according to their... Why would him? Thus, there's no need for the jiva to change in order to see Prakriti, and no need to be liberated, since the jiva previous to creation was liberated. Right? So, if there's proximity, that means the jiva can see Prakriti, and they're in the liberated state. So they can see and they can become liberated. They're already liberated, they're already seeing. Mm. So what's the point? There'll be no purpose. You are...
When there is consciousness, there is automatically desire.
Yeah, of course.
And automatically, we can say, reason.
Yeah, logic, all those things are going on. Yeah. It's just how well it's going on, that's another thing, but it's going on.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Because that's the point, you're conscious of things. So if you're conscious, then you're naturally analyzing what's different, what's the same, what should be accepted, what should be rejected. Yeah. You know, there has to be an identity with all that, because otherwise, I'm seeing this, how do I relate to it? So there's no, you know, there has to be an identity. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So now if you have spiritual identity, then when you're on that transcendental platform, then you're going to see everything connected to the Lord. Right, so then one just naturally moves forward into the transcendental position, you know, in relationship with the Lord. If you are seeing these things but you have material desire, then you can't fulfill that in connection with the Lord, because the Lord's not important. You may see Him, but He's not important. So then your identity of the controller and enjoyer, then you have to wait until Brahma creates. Then you can get your specific, you know, body and situation in which now you can express that desire to control and enjoy. Right? So that's why you may have different liberated living entities in the, what's it, Mahakalapura. Right? You have those ones who think they're Brahman, but they're just there. So when desire comes up, they come back. You have the residents of Kailash, which are, you know, servants of Shiva. Mm-hmm. And so they'll always just reside there because they have an identity as servants of Shiva. Mm-hmm. right? And they understand him as a devotee. So then they're the devotees of Vishnu as a devotee of Shiva.
Yes.
Right? Like that. And so then they have that particular pastimes and everything, but they stay there. And so, and then you have those when Krishna breathes out, and in the primary creation, the living entities are there, they're all in Vishuddha Sattva, but because they identify as the controller and enjoyer, it's just a matter of, you know, time before then they get their form. Because we have to remember, if the whole thing's happening in 3/4 of a second to Mahavishnu, then how long do you have to wait before Brahma starts his creation? And once it's there, then you put in the universe, and now you work on the inside the universe time rather than the Mahatattva time. So then it's a touch longer than 3/4 of a second. Right? So the point is it's just a matter of the liberated state is overrated in that it's supposed to be something special and wonderful, because if it is, according to this Shankya philosophy, why would they leave it in the first place?
Yes.
So now if they keep coming, going to that nice place, then coming back, then going back again, then that, you know, brings it down into even other, how you say, religious philosophies, where you, it's not that, you know, the Christians, you go to heaven, you stay there. But others, you go to heaven, you're there a while, then you come back, and then you go there again, and, you know, so it works out, right? But, so, the whole element is, yeah, okay. If you argue that the cause of the jiva of modifying itself for enjoyment is proximity to Prakriti, that would also be the case of the jiva in a state of liberation, since proximity of pradhan and purusha is eternal. So they would all already be in that place. So then if he's modifying, that means he has to be able to modify. But if he doesn't modify, then... Right? So it's superimposition is putting, but the point is you're superimposing on a liberated state.
So then you're going to say that the liberated person becomes again bound.
Yeah, because otherwise it's eternally going on. That means the jivas have to be constantly being liberated and getting bound. And then what's the point of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something else addressed there. So why not get real liberation and stop all that? Because if being here is a problem, then why would the jiva in a liberated state accept it, you know, to increase their happiness or give a different taste? You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, okay, we're going in, let's say, for example, we go to Calcutta, let's say you go to Calcutta on a regular basis, you know, for work. And so you have at your disposal a, you know, good quality, one of those big ones, big, you know, sized Land Rovers for going and coming like that. And so you're going and coming in that. And so then you're doing that, so you get bored of that. So therefore, you're going to take the Shelda local, especially the early one that's totally packed with all the factory workers and that, just for that change in flavor to increase your enjoyment.
Proximity.
Yes, by proximity, then you'll take on the superimposition of all their different, yeah. You understand? It doesn't make sense. Why would you do that?
Yes.
You know. So, I mean, what's the point of these philosophies? Because you see, is they're absurd.
Yes.
Like that. But they address the mundane need to speculate and the enjoyment of that and the mundane need of liberation.
Yes.
Right? Because we're not talking here the actual real liberation. We're talking about the material need for liberation. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:329. Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of the living entities, both moving and stationary. And you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge acquiring senses. And therefore you are the great controller of the material elements and their qualities. And you are the controller of all desires. Mm-hmm. he's the control, because you've had these desires, and then by how just the process works and the mind works, then these desires keep coming up. And so if you, the jiva works on them, right? Because what's the point of, how you say it? What does it mean when you're bored? If you're bored in a situation, what's happening?
Nothing to do.
And so, and
no pleasure.
No pleasure. So yeah. you have no pleasure because there's nothing to do. Yeah. But then how do you define what you'll be doing? Where does it come from?
The mind.
The mind. But what is the mind? What element within the, or what situation in the mind is there that you would proceed to action?
The external object.
Attachment.
The eternal objects, attachment,
inspiration.
Inspiration, right? So that's the desire. So from desire, you get attachment. From attachment, then you'll perform the activity, right? Because you see the goal.
Yes.
Like that. So unless desire is there, so that you can get bored. See, sometimes you have so many desires, and other times you get bored. So what does that mean? Someone else is controlling how it works.
Yes.
That doesn't mean he produces the desires. He produces the situations in which you can have desire, and then you're reminded of those, because once something is there, the mind keeps going back to that. If something was nice, the mind will go back to that. Does that make sense? So just Krishna being knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, then you just keep remembering your desires.
Yes.
That's why then, by the Lord's grace, if you're not interested in material desires, then at some point they'll stop coming up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Krishna is, he's the controller, not us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, it's not technically that we control our desire. We want to control, we want to see the desires controlled. If that's there and you follow the recommendation of scriptures and all that, then the senses by that austerity can be controlled. Why? Because you're pleasing the Lord through that austerity. Right? But that's very difficult. Now, if it's that you desire that these be controlled, why? Because you want to serve Krishna, you want to please Krishna, then so much easier they are to control. Because Krishna is the one controlling them anyway.
So much inspiration is coming from the Lord.
Yes.
And we can just desire to serve Krishna or not.
Yes. That's the option.
Yes.
But in them they have unlimited variety.
Yes.
So the problem is even if you say, well, the spiritual is unlimited, the material is unlimited, then the problem is that the material can't satisfy the soul. So that's the difficulty. So you can't really get anything from that. So, Sutra 227, Purva Paksha. If a lame man incapable of walking and a blind man incapable of seeing come in proximity, the blind man, though without sight, is capable of moving about. Similarly, by the proximity of iron and a magnet, the inert iron moves. Prakriti, though insentient, by proximity with the jiva, who has consciousness, acts as if conscious, as jiva's shadow, to create the universe for the jiva. So that's the problem. It's conscious like the jiva, but then it creates a situation in which the jiva has to make up this philosophy to get out.
Yes.
Yeah, so then how good is that? You know? In response to this is the following sutra. Purushas mavad iti chet tatapi. Purusha, man. Asman, magnet. Vat, like. Iti, thus. Chet, if. Tatapi, so also. If you give the example of the blind and lame man, or the iron and magnet, there is still no reason to accept Pradhan as the creator of the universe. Sutra Prakashika. Herein, the sutrakar refutes the dissenter, since both their examples, the blind and lame man, or the iron and magnet, have the aspect of homogeneity to compare Prakriti and Jiva that have the aspect of heterogeneity. Right? So the other two are similar.
Yes.
Right? But if you had let's say, a magnet and a pomegranate, now what would happen? You know? Or a blind man, or a lame man and a caterpillar. You know? Like that? So it's not going to get you. It's not working. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Siddhanta, even accepting such an analogy, insentient Prakriti could not act on its own. Even if a lame man cannot walk, he can give instructions where to walk because he can see. And the blind man can accept those instructions even if he cannot see. Both are conscious beings. Right? So here is that Jiva is conscious, material nature is not. In the case of the iron and magnet, there must be someone to bring the two together. Right? It's not happening on its own. It's not you have the magnet over here and then you're attracting all of your, you know, neighbor's jewelry, you know, to your house and all that. Just main thing is you always have to remember to leave the window open, right? Like that. But at the same time, as long as you have, you know, one of those, what do you call it? Like they have in Germany, those like flower planters and hanging in the window. You know, you haven't seen? Somehow, I don't know if it's still, but I've seen before, that in the houses, especially as you go out to the big cities into the more villages, you have the windows, and they have these special, like, planter boxes for flowers that are hung on the windowsill itself at the bottom of the window. So you can open it, it gives some nice color, you open the window, pour some water, and it flows the window like that. So if you have one of those outside the window, then it's not a problem because it'll come hit the window and fall into there. Now, what would be the advantage? Because you could say it'll be much easier if the window's open and that just comes in. You don't have to pick it up from outside. But in case it's imitation, right? If it's faux, right? So then by hitting the glass, then it'll break. And then you don't have to worry about it. And so then you just pick up the real ones. And if it's real, then you might, well, it should be there or it'll break your window. So, okay. The jiva, however, eternally without action and without qualities can undergo no transformation. Right? Mm-hmm. So that means they can't bring together, so you can't have the magnet one, and you have to have two conscious beings for the other one to work. Footnote 7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur enlightens us on the apparent contradictory statements in the Shruti Shastra about the nature of the soul. The individual spirit soul is a performer of activities. He perceives the sense objects. He enjoys pleasure. In the Shruti Shastra it is said, the individual spirit soul acquires knowledge. He performs yajnas. He performs activities. In the Shruti Shastra it is also said, the individual soul enjoys what he desires. Some philosophers think the individual soul is the highest doer, the highest knower, the highest enjoyer. This idea is a foolish mistake. In the Mahabharata Vanaparva, Yamaraj tells Maharaj Somaka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is alone the highest doer, knower, and enjoyer. No one else ever becomes a doer, knower, or enjoyer like him. Doer, knower, enjoyer. So Krishna says he's the controller of all the planets, he's the enjoyer of everything, and he's the friend of every living entity. So, yeah, so the knower also then would indicate that you're the friend. Like Krishna's in the heart, he knows everything. He's the actual friend. Like his friend is someone who knows something, who's in common. And you generally see the ones who claim to be friends of everyone are the ones that like to know everything. Yes. Or think they know everything. Like that.
To know what is unknown.
Yes, like that. You know. Yeah, that's the whole point of Facebook, is to know, right? Here, someone may protest. Activities always bring suffering. And therefore, it is not possible for any spiritual being to be a doer of activities. Right? That is the message of the Shruti Shastra. To this I reply, it is not as you think. Material activities like the Darsha and Purnamasa Yajnas are certainly troublesome, but the spiritual pastimes of the Lord and his associates never bring trouble or suffering. Right? So on the material platform, whatever you do is going to give you some problem, and it's difficult. But in the spiritual pastimes, then there's never a problem.
But now, what is this Darsha, Purnamasa?
Darsha and Purnamasa, they are yajnas that I think the grihasthas, the karmakanda grihasthas, are obliged to perform, that Srila Prabhupada has saved you from.
Like Shraddha?
Yeah, but Shraddha you do once a year. Mm-hmm. These ones you do on a monthly basis, or even, you know, more. Yeah. So you have all these rituals to do. So that's what we were saying yesterday, is when one comes from a culture where there is zero ritual, except for those you want to accept and move in that circle. But if you don't, you just move in another circle. So it's your whim. And so to come into a culture that has regulation on all things in life, then it seems so ritualistic. And so when you hear Prabhupada and the Acharyas talking about giving up the ritualistic, then they give up what has been recommended by Prabhupada and the Acharyas, because they'll consider that ritualistic in their perspective. But ritualism, that what they're talking about, has already been dropped. So what they're giving us, that's not ritual, that's just the practical, regular stuff that we would do. Wow. They're so big that you can't even see their heads now. Okay, the back one you can see. But the front one you can't see.
They're not the same now.
Yeah. I mean, for you can see, but for here is that you can't see their head. Okay. That's pretty far. Right? So material activities give trouble, whether you get a benefit from it or not, but it's still trouble. But in the spiritual pastime, with the pastimes of the Lord and his associates, there's never any trouble, because it's always about Krishna. So the mechanical aspects don't give problem on the material, because they're connected to Krishna. But in the material world, they give problem because they're not connected to Krishna. So that's the difficulty.
When we have spiritual desire and we perform spiritual activities, and in performance of the spiritual activities, when we face troubles or suffering, then that is actually a suffering, because it doesn't allow us to progress in that particular activity towards the Lord. So how do we...
I didn't quite catch that.
We say that for material activities, we undergo suffering.
Right.
So for spiritual activities also, we undergo suffering, because the three
questions... But why are we suffering?
Either people or environment, whatever, you know.
No, but why is it a suffering? Why would people or environment be a suffering? You know, what's the bottom line?
Yeah, I can say that my own karmas, because of which people are trying.
Okay, so then that's results of previous action.
Yes.
So how is that not material activity? Right?
Yes.
Okay. Even if one says, no, but I'm doing a spiritual activity, why are these? But the point is the bhakti is doing it for Krishna. The wanting to get done in a certain way, in a certain time frame, in a certain situation, and get a certain amount of, respect or appreciation or enjoyment out of it, what's that got to do with bhakti? Therefore, the suffering comes from the material concept, not from the bhakti. Right? Because if you're absorbed in the Lord, what's to suffer about? You're doing this for the Lord. You don't notice, it doesn't create any problem. Right? Because we're taking it, if mechanically I have trouble getting things done, that's a problem. But in the spiritual world, it's a matter of how is the pastime going to unfold. It makes something special. Like, let's say we hear the story of Krishna, because in Radharani's house, in the courtyard, there's a tree. Do we not see in Krishna's pastimes that there appears to be obstacles? But he's the supreme enjoyer, supreme controller. So what do those seeming obstacles produce?
More attraction to him.
Yeah, they just create variety. They create something more interesting. Jatila walks into at noontime into the noon pastimes. So they go into one of the gopis' kunjas, so that, let's say, it is it's the kunja made with all, what do you call it? Everything in the kunjas blue, like Krishna. The trees, the plants, the animals, everything like that. So now Krishna and the gopis are there. Jatila walks in. Right? This is a problem. Right? But, now, does Jatila see Krishna? She can't. Because he's blue and everything else is blue. So all she'll see is Radharani and the gopis. So is that not fun that she thinks Krishna's not there and Radharani and Krishna are standing right next to each other? So that's an obstacle. So in the material world, we'll say, you know, why is this always happening? Because it's not connected to Krishna. But when it's connected to Krishna, all this seeming obstacles and difficulties, that they don't produce trouble or suffering. In the material world, they do, because I'm thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why there's trouble and suffering. But in the spiritual world, they never think I'm the controller and enjoyer, so therefore the secondary attributes never create trouble or suffering. And in the material world, they always will. There'll be moments where we think that we're not suffering, but you know, it works out. Like, yeah. Okay. Passages from the Shruti Shastra that seem to prove the soul is ultimately inactive do not in truth prove it. Right? So even though it appears he's inactive, it doesn't prove he's in it. It only is there to establish that he's not materially active, the soul. The soul's nature is seen always to be active, and therefore a condition where no activity is ever performed is not possible for the soul. To be active is part of the soul's nature. So even if you say they merge into Brahman, but they're absorbed in Aham Brahmasmi, they're doing something, they're thinking, I am Brahman. Right? They're not doing nothing. And if you're doing nothing and don't exist, what's the point? Why is the void attractive? You don't exist, nothing's happening. How is that special? You know what I'm saying?
No suffering.
But you don't exist to know if you're suffering or not. Yeah, so it's not a very good.
It's like a suicidal case.
It is, but there's the idea that I will still be able to appreciate. And there's this point: if someone has the idea, if they'll stop their existence, and by that all the suffering will stop. But the point is if you don't but they still have the concept that I will be able to appreciate the lack of suffering due to not being, not existing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't exist, then by definition, you're not there to experience that this non-existence is nice. So it's not actually a well thought out philosophy, but it's for those in the mode of ignorance. And so therefore, it immediately appears to be okay, because that's how mode of ignorance works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? You know, so someone who has that destructive mentality, because ignorance means destructive, so you want to destroy your own existence, you know, your own identity. That's the main thing. But at the same time, as without an identity, how do you know that you're happy now that you've destroyed your identity? Because if you can't identify, you can't tell if you're happy or not. You know, if you don't exist, then, you know. So that's the problem. It's just a feeling. So they're touching on that aspect of Krishna, that the destructive element, and that because that has an eternal nature, then they're feeling that it will be eternally good. But the point is it's because they're existing to experience it. Like that. So it's only because of the soul's contact with the super soul in this particular qualities, by that meditation, absorption, or desire, that then they'll have some experience. Right? So even their idea that I can be happy in liberation, you know, these impersonal means this Mayavada or Buddhistic concepts, then the point comes down is that they're coming to that assumption because they are actually a soul that's eternal and individual.
Yes.
And they're projecting that I will be happy if I don't exist and I merge or there's nothing there or something. But it's just, it's the soul itself is thinking that. So there's no such thing as not being on that platform. The soul's nature is seen always to be active, and therefore a condition where no activity is ever performed is not possible for the soul, right? That's how you know that someone's not in the body, because the body doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how one knows, because otherwise they're breathing or, you know, something. To be active is part of the soul's nature. This, the sages say. In the same way, passages from the Shruti Shastra that seem to prove that the soul has no changes of thoughts or changes of emotions do not in truth prove it. The soul's knowledge, quality, and other features may undergo changes. Still, as the sky never changes, so the spirit soul is never affected by the gross material changes that are part of the material world. That's the definition. The soul remains steady in his existence. His existence continues unchanged. So existence stays.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this idea is, because what are they dealing with? Existence. You won't exist anymore. But existence will stay. So the Chit and Ananda, they'll say, I'll have knowledge, and then I won't exist. But how can you have knowledge if you don't exist? Because knowledge itself is existing, and you have to be conscious.
Yes.
His existence continues unchanged, even in dreamless sleep, as seen in the words, I slept happily, I did not dream.
Yes.
In this way, it is seen that the soul is completely spiritual in nature, Vedanta Shamantaka. Right? So I slept happily, I did not dream, and that's considered a good position. Right? Okay. Then, on the previous... If you say that proximity of jiva and prakriti causes change in prakriti, their proximity is eternal. Therefore, this would mean that creation would be eternal. And this would mean liberation is impossible, because the creation is always going on. It's always happening. Since the lame man and the blind man are both conscious and the iron and magnet are both unconscious, whereas jiva is conscious and prakriti is unconscious, the examples are clearly disparate and so inapplicable to the context.
When there is some analogy like here, you know, this means it seems that we can use the analogy according to our intent.
Yes.
And
because when we're saying iron and fire, then we're talking about the spiritual nature that is there. And so our very small can be absorbed in the fire of the very great, of the internal potency. Right? Otherwise, then we don't function in that spiritual capacity, though we still are.
Yes.
Right? And so then one takes on the material qualities. So you have to see what part of the example matches. But in here, because they're talking about conscious and unconscious, but they're giving examples of things that are both conscious or both unconscious, like that, then the problem is it doesn't work as this analogy. Right? Because there has to be some common point for it to work. It won't work in all situations, but it has to work.
Only acharyas need to be there to explain, what
they Yes, because they're able to see. Because this is the point, meaning that they're beyond the four defects. So they don't make mistake. They don't have the illusion and imperfect senses in this. So they see things as they are. They understand as they are. That's why we're dependent upon there. So if we oppose what they're saying because of our own attachments to our own conditioning, and we still have the idea that you can make the material world a wonderful place. No, you can't. The point is Krishna consciousness, that's wonderful. So if you introduce Krishna consciousness, you practice that, then you'll be one unaffected. And if a volume of people do, then you'll see that they'll be, even in the situations around you, you won't see difficulties. You know, like we see in Dwarka or in Ayodhya, that. Not that for the pastimes, some interesting points don't come up. But basically then, you won't see any problems. Right?
Yes.
So it's only because of that. It's not that, no, but if everybody has good qualities, then there'll be such a nice atmosphere, then it'll be so easy to be Krishna conscious, because I'm getting distracted from Krishna consciousness because people aren't nice. Right? So if everybody was nice, then I could be Krishna conscious. But then that means Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the niceness of everybody around the individual devotee. The aspirant for devotion. So that would go against the independent nature of bhakti. And if that was true, then we would see, how do the Pandavas, five of them, and then they're surrounded by how many people that are not Krishna conscious? So how are they Krishna conscious? How is Prahlad Maharaj Krishna conscious? Bali Maharaj, this whole place, he's king of the demons. That's all he's surrounded by. How is he Krishna conscious? So like that, then how is it possible? So that's the idea, is that if we work hard, we can improve the quality of the material world. Then in that situation, I'll be inspired to be Krishna consciousness. So that means the material qualities are what inspire you, not the Krishna conscious aspects.
Yes.
And we're missing out that those qualities that we are inspired by, they're inspirational because they're Krishna's qualities. So if they're Krishna's qualities, then why not see it in connection with Krishna? Because that's what's actually going on. Why see this, them as separate from Krishna? And therefore be an illusion or an ignorance, and then claim that that's going to make everything work. Because the mode of ignorance doesn't really make anything work really great. Even people who claim that, they try to sleep, then the whole point is then they get groggy or this or that. They try intoxications, and there's always a repercussion of that. So mode of ignorance, it doesn't really, you get angry, you break everything and all that. And so at the moment it seemed really great and really a good expression. But then when you come to your senses, then you realize that you've just, damaged hundreds of thousands of, worth of household paraphernalia, and like that. And so how is this a benefit? Like that. I was saying, burning one's bridges. So like that, it's that, then how do you deal? So for that moment that you had that good feeling, then it may take years to repair the damage. So how is the mode of ignorance going to give that? So since that won't, then why would one want to use that or claim that it's part of the devotional process or equal to or even better than? Right? Because the point, if good qualities are worthwhile, the point is why? Because they come from Krishna. So then why would you use them separate from Krishna? Why would I try to use the quality of, let's say, you know, goodness or niceness separate from Krishna first, only then afterwards, then I'll be inspired to then use it for Krishna. So that means, then who am I trying to please by this niceness?
Myself.
Ourself, yeah. Because it's only when I'm pleased, then I will be gracious and engage in devotional service. So this means now this level of looking at something, you can see it's very clear and straightforward, right? Right, and not actually technically a difficult thing. But go back a few years, we don't have the capacity to do that, right? So you can say is. This is the first year in this study, but now it starts to make sense. Right? Does that make sense? Because now we're getting used to it, that dealing on the fine points. You know, it's just like someone who has no cultural sense at all. A little bit of just common decency is like too much for them. You know what I'm saying? But then someone who's cultured, then it's not. You know, and then if they're really refined, then just being cultured is easy. Does that make sense? You know, and then the person who's cultured for fun, they can be gross, right? Yes, you know, with their friends, it's just their friends. They can say, you know, do funny, gross stuff just for fun, like that. It even mentions, Vatsyayana mentions that when the Vedic system, let's say the householders, when they take the family and friends and go out into the forest for, you know, a picnic and like that, that while they're out there, then they would one of the features would be to talk in rural language.
Yes.
You know, so whatever is the, you know, whatever particular rural aspect is funny to them, then you just talk like that. So you get this whole fun of being rough and all that. And do all that. Then when you go back to your place, that, you know, then, you know, you just behave normally. But it's just one of the things. So it's something that's there. So they can do that. But people who talk like that and behave like that all the time, they can't. They can only do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that as we go into this, even though, because what is it? This kind of dealing and all that, because we're dealing with Vyasadeva and all that, it's the mode of goodness, right? And how does the process of taste go when you're working with goodness?
Bitter
in the beginning, and?
Sometime in the future.
Sometime in the future it becomes sweeter, like that. Yes, carefully chosen word. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then finally it starts to, oh, okay, now it makes sense. Right? So it's just a matter of practice. So that's why these things are there, so that we can analyze and tell the difference. Otherwise, let's say, previously, you know, so we go back into the earlier years, an issue comes up. It's a discussion sometimes for 2 weeks. I don't remember, in the first 3 years, it could be a 2-week discussion, something on Varnashram, something on the soul, something on family life, something like this. 2-week discussion, like that. And, you know, we wouldn't get through anything. And that, but with time, then it got less, then it was down to like 3 days, then it was down to take the whole class, and now it's just, it comes up, and it's just something said, and we move on, and no one even, it doesn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole point, because then you can analyze in a finer point that where's the issue? You know, it's not like, it's as if we're saying, no, but everyone should be good, that's a good thing, that's important, you know, you're saying devotees should be immoral and badly behaved, that's not what we're discussing at all. We're discussing Krishna consciousness here. Because the other point is, it's just a matter of a value in qualities that pleases their conditioning on the material platform. And within that, then they are interested in Krishna consciousness. So, they are perceiving that the materialists, then, you know, at least the world they're moving in doesn't have much of this. And they perceive a little bit more in the devotees. But once they get into the devotee community, then the tendency of fault finding, then you find fault, so then you think there's no good. And then the karmis are so much nicer. Yeah, because they're being paid to be nice. Right? You go to Disneyland, everybody's nice. Why? Because they get paid to be nice. And not only that, they have some kind of, you know, doll head on. So they can be as grumpy as they like, and you won't know, as long as they wave their arms and all that. And they're like, man, I hate these kids, you know, like this. And, you know, like that. So it works. Yeah?
Now it seems that Vedanta Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, it's always the same point, means to surrender to Krishna, to be a devotee of Krishna.
That's it. There's only that point. It's you're in the material world because you don't surrender. You can go in the spiritual world because you do surrender. That's it. Yeah. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. Yeah. And the mom is Krishna's mom, not our mom. Right? You can preach to your mom, but it's all about Krishna's mom. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's not that you've been reading the pastimes and go, wow, hey, that's my mom. You know, like that. No, Mother Jashoda, she's there, but not our mom. Yeah. It's a good chance our mom hangs out with Jatila. At least our mother-in-law. See, that's the origin where mother-in-law gets a bad name. Is, yeah.
So they got the gotra also.
Huh?
They got the gotra. The mothers-in-law.
Yeah,
Their gotra starts from Jatila.
Yeah, from Jatila, yeah. So there, yeah. So, yeah. Coming in the Jatila bombs. Okay.
Previously we said that we are from
Hiranyakasipu
Gotra.
Yeah, well, coming from Kashyapa, that's the thing is, you can always say, if you don't know, you just say Kashyapa. Because all the demons come from Kashyapa, because Diti and Aditi and Danya are his two wives, all the Danavas and Daityas, they come from his two wives. So that whole kind of place comes from there. And the Adityas, then they all come from Diti, which are also Kasyapa. So in one sense, you just say, if you don't know, then Kasyapa. Like that. But for devotees, then it's Achyuta, because then it's connected to Krishna. Like that. So basically, unless you can say Bharadwaj or something, then stick to Achyuta. You know, like that. That's the... Bhagavatam verse reference 5:18:38. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Okay, so he has no desire, but he wants to engage the living energy so that they can come back to the spiritual world. So the material engagement is not his interest. But since it's the interest of the soul, therefore it's arranged. Footnote 8. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Lord moves the inert Prakriti by his glance for the purpose of creation, similar to a magnet that moves the iron. So a lodestone is a magnet.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Interesting name, lodestone.
The original element? That's the name.
Oh, I mean, so the magnet is made from lodestone. Ah, okay. Okay, like the airplanes made from titanium or something like that. Okay. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. It's kind of like Krishna could have made it otherwise. But, you know, what's that? The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. Because if they didn't want to enjoy it, the spiritual world's already going on quite nicely. You don't need an alternative. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways. Just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Shankya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 6:18-19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows. Atheistic Shankya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. Dead matter has no moving power, and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Right, so because his energy is there, his potency is there, that's why it can move and act. Right? That's all. Down here. Sea waves are moved by the air. The air is created from ether. The ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Otherwise, the three modes of nature are just homogeneously there, inactive. So not unconscious, inactive, nothing. When the Lord glances, then they become agitated. So in the agitation, then we see all the 24 elements then expand. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachara Acharam. This is further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita 5:59-61. Because Prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently. So for us, material science, so-called Shankya philosophers, then, you know, the adjectives, right? So here it's just material scientists and philosophers, meaning material scientists and material philosophers. So the Shankyas are just materialists. That's all. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5-14. O Brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically towards the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus, I have no independence. Right? But here is that no independence that we're talking about in relationship. You know, in rasa, that they're comfortable with this. He's not complaining. The sutra card denotes that the next two sutras defy the opposition stand of crediting the task of creation to the gunas, right? So now they'll move it to the gunas. It's not working with Prakriti, you can't say the soul. All these have been, you know, so all these few little elements that are there, it keeps moving around which is which, and we've even tried void in all these things. Yeah. Sutra 2:2-8. Introduction. The followers of Shankya say that the universe is created by the appearance of principal and secondary gunas, caused by predominance or subordination among the three gunas. This idea is refuted in the next sutra. Angitvan upapatesh cha. Angitva, the relation of being the principal, anupapatehe, on account of the impossibility and unreasonableness. Cha, and. Wow, what a word, huh? You have reason, right? Then unreason. Reasonableness, and unreasonable. You know, so you've had so many And then they'll say that English has no, declensions. This argument cannot be accepted because there is no cause of one guna becoming prominent. Right, so what would cause one to be in the other? So you can't say that they would be doing it themselves. What's the reason that the gunas would produce? Right, if material nature is not going to produce, why have a cause? Why would something that's coming from material nature have a cause? Right? Yeah. Gunas without a cause, right? Sutra Prakashika. Herein, the Sutrakar refutes the opponent's misconstrued concepts on the topic of disturbance of gunas. The Vedantists express that pradhan is a state of stability. Hence, in an equilibrium state, the opponent's belief of the discriminating, the primary and secondary gunas don't apply. Because if the gunas have to create, they're only going to create if they're agitated.
Yes.
So creation is only, but why would they be agitated? Because pradhan is defined as that state of equilibrium. So why would, because if you're going to have an agitated state, that means one guna has to be prominent over the others. Otherwise, if they're all the same, yes, it's still equilibrium. So that means there must be an adjustment.
Yes.
There always has to be one that's more prominent than another.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? A minimum, at least two are more prominent than one.
Yes.
Okay.
But otherwise there is no possibility of creation.
No. So then, but they're saying it's like this thing is, where does the jiva come from? Oh, it's Brahman covered by illusion. Where does illusion come from? Oh, it comes from the jiva. It's the same kind of thing, is that if you look at this way, it makes sense, seems to make sense. If you look at that way, it makes sense. But when you compare the two, it makes no sense. You know? You know, it's just like the kids. Okay, who made this mess? And this kid will say, he did it. And you ask that kid, he did it. You ask either one, it makes sense. But when you see both together, then now there's a problem. But it makes sense to the kids. So. Moreover, they refuse to accept the Lord or time as the agents in stirring the gunas. Besides this, according to them, the jiva is indifferent to prakriti. So, who agitates the gunas, right? He's indifferent because they're taking all the, whatever there is that talks about the jiva or purusha, whether it's the jiva itself or whether it's Ishwara, and attributing it all to the jiva.
Yes.
So therefore, purusha is unagitated, undisturbed by the modes of nature. It's by his will that it all happens. It's all these things. And so those aspects then all attribute to the jiva. At the same time, he's not doing anything, this and that. So they end up with a problem because they can't accept the supreme. They have to put it to the jiva. And so the jiva can't do it because in the Veda, the jiva doesn't do it. It's the supreme Lord. But they attribute those things to the jiva, so the jiva can't. So now that means prakriti, what's unconscious, has to do it, or a part of prakriti, the gunas, have to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Shri Govinda Bhasya. Oh, okay. They are utterly confused and have no answer. Right? Shri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. Pradhan is a condition of equilibrium of the gunas. One among the gunas, neutral by nature in that state, cannot be principal. Angit vanu papattehe. Since the other two cannot become subordinate. Since all three are in a state of equilibrium, therefore, one of the gunas cannot become principal, making the other secondary. Like, it's just like you say, there's a nature, right? You have a kapha nature, vata, pitta nature, or kapha, pitta, pitta, like this. So, but even if you say, okay, no, it's mixed, you know, say you have a kapha, pitta, but one of them will be the gross body, one of them will be the subtle body. Right? Does that make sense? So there's never, it's all the same. And even if you have the one that's balanced, all three, but they're taking different aspects. Does that make sense? Because they're not all three in the same place at the same time. Otherwise, how would you have, means, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The cause of disruption of the equilibrium cannot be the Lord or time, since you do not accept them as agents capable of doing this. Right? So the jiva can't do it, Prakriti can't do it, the modes of nature can't do it, but you're not accepting the Lord or time. Mm-hmm. Right? Kapila says, God is not accepted because there is no proof of his existence. He has to be either liberated or bound up. And in both cases, he cannot be capable of initiating creation. Right? So, that's the whole, he can't do it, the jiva can't do it, you know, so the whole point is, you know, who did it? You know, they say, who let the modes out? Right? Yeah. Sankhya Sutra 192-93. Space and time arise from ether. Sankhya Sutra 212. Jiva cannot be the cause of disturbing equilibrium because jiva is indifferent to Prakriti, Sankhya Sutra 1163. Even accepting that the equilibrium of gunas is disturbed without any cause at the beginning of every creation, there would be no cause of the gunas disturbance at the very first creation. Right?
Maybe it is also because at least in the West, many people don't want to think about what is the origin of life. Huh?
No, because it's
yeah. Yes, it's
especially when you find out your grandfather's a monkey. Right? That's not so glorious.
Yes. Huh? So actually, because all these philosophers, they try to present that there is no God. Huh? But it means because difficult to explain the creation.
It's very difficult to explain. They can't explain without God. But the problem is why no God? What will be the inspiration that there should be no God?
Because they have to accept an authority.
Yeah, they have to accept an authority. Yes. So the whole point is we come to the material world because we don't accept Krishna's position in the process of knowledge, action, and results. You know, and experience. You know, all those things. We don't accept him as part of that. We think that we can manipulate the energies of the Lord without the Lord and gain enjoyment ourselves, even though it's his energy. So how does that work? You know, it's like the thief. They want to enjoy somebody's house. Yes. You know, they go out on vacation, so then they want to break in and enjoy the house. Yes. Like that. But the difficulty comes is that that's not really going to... So, it's because God's not involved, that's why we can think we're the enjoyers. As soon as you involve God, then that means party's over. Yes. You know, it's like, as soon as you hear the car drive into the driveway, then you have to, you know, go quickly out of the back door, no matter what you're doing. You have to get out of there. You know. So, that's the whole idea, is that you it has to be avoided.
Yes.
Right? Yes. It means if you're a materialistic scientist or philosopher, you have to avoid God. Because then, if you're including God, then what's the relationship between the soul, material world, and God? Like that. And even if they do, then you see most, even if they accept God in some capacity, then they try to deify him so he's not involved here. He may have created it, but now he's not running it. He doesn't care. Or he's lost control of it, you know, or that the devil has come up and does, you know, so if God's supreme, then how does the devil run the place?
Yes.
You know, it just doesn't make sense, because then it comes down to, okay, if you deify God, then we have to make the choices. It's up to us, and we're being practical. Okay, there may be the laws, you know, but in actuality, then... Okay.
Disagreement.
But it's the, what do you call it? The element of, how you say, happiness that comes from attaining what you projected would make you happy when you get it. Because now what's going on? No, that's it. That was that moment. You know, it's over. No. I can think about it the rest of the day, maybe, or, you know, tell his grandchildren, but that was it.
So Maharaj, anybody who has problems with authority and accepting authority means it. So the reason is that they want to be the control of their
religion. Yes, it's always like that. it's just like let us say you have a group of people agitating against the government, right? It's hypothetical, not saying that it ever happens, right? And so now the leaders of that, now let's say they do adjust the government. So who becomes the new government? Those agitators, the leaders of the agitators. And then when they're the leaders of the agitators, then what's the first thing they do? Clamp down on everybody else who's agitating. Yeah, it's just standard. It's just, you look at history, that's what always happens. It's the same old, you know, nothing new. So it's just that they want to be the authority, that's all.
And only if we accept authority, surrender unto authority, then we have some scope that we can surrender to Krishna later.
Yes. So if there's anything anywhere, it means all living entities, because it's their nature to, as servant of Krishna. And all living entities are appreciating some aspect of Krishna's creation, you know, gross or subtle. So in that area, they're appreciating Krishna, like we were saying before. People are nice, so you appreciate that. Through that, then you're able to, you see things, Krishna's nice, or those places where he's compassionate, you'll be inspired. But then in areas where, you know, where you see that people aren't, then that will disturb you. So that's the point, is because then that makes you, and you know, you've come to Krishna consciousness for artha, you know, that you know, see artha, no artarti, no artha, yeah.
So,
why not both, Maharaj?
Huh?
Why not both?
Artha.
You have artha and artarti. Artarti wants the money.
Yeah.
Show me the money, right? And the artha means they want the. The emotional kind of support and all that. Material world's rough and disturbance and anxiety, so they come to religion to relieve themselves of that anxiety. And so as long as it does, then it's good. And when it doesn't, then they'll try to find something else, because that's the whole point. It's not about knowing God. So when you come to the point of appreciating God's position, our relationship, and that how Krishna is taking care of everything, then out of that gratefulness, then you want to know things in relationship to God and follow God's distinctions. So that's the jigyasu. They're stable. That jigyasu then now can move on, and if they're stable in that, they'll become a madhyamadikari. Otherwise, those four, you know, the four pious persons, they're all kanistas. Right? So those first three have a problem that they'll go away. They'll like the knowledge, but something in the knowledge they won't like. They get facility, they lose facility, or they gain a little bit more peace and stuff like that, but then at some point there's an anxiety and all that, so then, you know, this religion's no good. So any of those three may leave. Gaining what they want or not finding what they want, they can go away. But the jnani, he won't, because he wants to know his relationship with the Lord. So staying in sadhana bhakti, he'll become situated in devotional service. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.13.53. When Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Samskara, reformation, Kama, desire, Karma, fruit of activity, and the Gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnu Murtis. Oh, okay, so this is the, yeah, Brahma Vimaha Lima. So Brahma saw that all these things that we would give as some aspect of creation or cause or involvement, inspiration, they've all taken personal forms and are worshipping the Lord. So there's nothing that's separate from the Lord. Footnote 9. Srila Prabhupada explains that Swabhava, Samskar, Kama, Karma, and the Gunas assisting Kala, although material can be purified, the process of bhakti and sadhu sangha, for the jiva's eternal benefit. No one but Vishnu has any independence. We develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only supreme master, and that everyone else is his servant. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasha Britya. Be one, even Narayan or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva Vidin Chinutam. Even Baladeva is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasa Britya. Jare Jaiche Nachaya Se Taiche Kare Nritya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.142. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna, and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 18.16. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayana must certainly be considered an offender. End quote. No one can compare to Narayana or Krishna. Krishna is Narayana, and Narayana is also Krishna. But Krishna is the original Narayana. Brahma himself, right, so Krishna is expanding as Narayana. So Narayana is having Narayana is Krishna, but he's only manifesting those qualities necessary to do that particular function that he's come as Narayana for. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, you know, like we're, give the example, we're sitting on the couch and we're thirsty, right? But we don't want to get off the couch, so we expand ourselves and we go and get a drink from the fridge. So what do we require for that? Do we require a suit?
No.
Do we require a limousine?
No,
so that we only require enough to be able to go to the fridge, open the door, get things out, and carry them back.
Yes.
So then, you know, whatever would match that, then that's what we do.
Yes.
Right? So if we are a little bit more imaginative, then we might take on the form of, you know, one of those well-dressed, like, you know, French waiters or something, you know, and then we bring the drink on the little plate and, you know, these things and, how you say, you know, show the bottle of, you know, how you say, what do you call it? Soda pop, you know, like that. And then, you know, shall we open it and then do and then pour it very nicely and, you know, all these different things. You know. It just depends on your how you are. Otherwise, then if you're not, you know, then yourself as a flat slob in a ill-fitting, you know, how you say, sleeveless T-shirt and, you know, boxer underwear, then you shuffle over to the fridge to get a drink. You know, does that make sense? Like that. So in this way, then we... Jai Ho Maharaj. Jai Ho. Okay. Jai. So we'll end here. Jai. 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 Jai.